We're rising up because in each and every one of us is this immaculate soul that was given to us by God. It's just crying out for dignity and freedom. You don't own me.
Welcome to Eyes on Gilead, an SBS podcast dedicated to The Handmaid's Tale. There is a lot going on in this show, and we think it helps to talk it out after every episode. I'm Fiona Williams, and I'm Head of Curation at SBS On Demand, and I'm joined by my friends, colleagues, and fellow resistors. Hayley Ireland, Channel Manager of SBS On Demand.
Hi.
Natalie Hambley, journalist turned gemologist.
Hi.
And Sana Kadar, host of All in the Mind podcast on ABC Radio National.
Hello.
Hello. We are getting to the pointy end of The Handmaid's Tale. Overall, we have just watched episode 8 of season 6 of The Handmaid's Tale. There are only two more episodes to go.
That's crazy.
It is. I don't even know the word for what that is. And they are ratcheting it up. This episode is called Exodus. It was written by Yalin Chang and directed by Dana Reid. June and Moira execute their dangerous plan.
How long's it gonna take?
1 to 2 hours. They'll go home and they'll fall fast asleep. And then we're on.
Serena makes a big commitment.
I was so stupid to do this again.
Serena.
I was wrong about you.
Okay.
I will never not love these descriptions.
Done. Let's go for the big or the small or the noteworthy things that stood out for us in this episode. Let's go around the room. What stood out for you, Sana?
My big thing is a big thing. Mm-hmm. It's the scene where Serena comes home for the first time to her marital home. She's full of joy and elation. And then that turns as she sees the handmaid. And then that turns to panic as she realizes what she's done and put herself back in the position of being subjugated to a man. That whole scene and that journey she goes on was mesmerizing, so beautifully acted. And I couldn't help but feeling so much empathy for Serena in that moment. You know, I don't love Serena. It's no secret. But you can't help but feel for her when her face turns to panic.
Yeah, that reveal was very good. Mm. The big swooping turn and, ooh, who's that? Nice one. Big one. Hayley, what stood out for you?
I think I've got to go with the hug between Aunt Lydia and Janine, because there were so many emotions tied up for me with that hug as well. It's obviously a really big moment of realization for Aunt Lydia, and the hug between her and Janine, is there's just so much there that's good and also bad. You know, like, I think Janine's there for the hug as well, even though so much horrible history has happened between her and Lydia. Like, there's so much empathy and compassion in that hug, even though it's Lydia's worst moment. So, yeah, I just loved everything that came with that hug, the good and the bad.
That's right. And, like, the camera hangs above them and you see everyone else filing past them. Like, that is a hug that lingers.
Yep.
And, yeah, like, you do feel it. Yeah, it was
so pain and hope.
That's right.
Mixed up in one.
That's right. Wow, great one. Natalie.
Mine is a Janine moment as well, and it is part of the big moment that happens in this episode. But rather than it being June's action against Belle, it's actually Janine's reaction to it. Mm. Because a lot, I think, of what we've seen this season is about friendship, and there's been some wonderful chats like between June and Moira, digging into their friendship and the hurt and the love. And so June just did this big act of love and Janine just goes, thanks. I just love that so much.
Yep.
What are friends for?
That's right. That's it. it's kind of basic, but it's huge. We've got handmaids. The Handmaid's Tale has handmaids.
Yeah.
And it just felt like, it's coming. They've been teasing this. That's the carrot that had us progressing through this season because, I think I remarked 4 episodes ago, we haven't seen a handmaid yet. And, we got them.
We've got loads of them. But even, you know, I was thinking some of those incredible shots of all of them together, and there's that great one in the church where they're all lined up and June's head moves just a fraction and it loses that kind of uniformity. The way this show mirrors the real world in unintended ways, you know, there's a papal conclave going on and all the cardinals in the red cloaks and the white hats, and it just, there's so many shots like that at the moment. It's just hard not to see that that mirroring. Of course, who knew the Pope was going to die and the cardinals had all been together?
Hands writers.
And yet, they've done it again.
Actually, like, one of my favourite moments visually was when all the handmaids were entering the church and then they were walking in parallel lines and then they split off into different directions. And they actually looked like an IUD.
Right.
I wonder if that was intentional.
It's a very specific note that they wanted.
I agree with you, though, because I felt a lot of nostalgia watching this episode. We haven't seen masses of handmaids in their uniforms and in their, you know, unison movements and the Eye of God shots of them.
Yes,
it felt so like old times in a way.
It did. And knowing what it's trying to achieve as well, it's not like we're not stuck in terrible, like, there's hope baked into this. Loved it. And, you know, speaking of handmaids, that incredible pre-title sequence where it's the very lengthy voiceover about the creation of the dresses, it sort of opens with this big stew of dye making this incredible red, horrific outfit. And the whole legacy of that, you know, with this grinding bass line, with the jazzy riffs, that Radiohead song, which they've used Radiohead a couple of times.
I noticed they brought Radiohead back, and it was the national anthem off the best Radiohead album, Kid A. that like traffic jam of horns at the end of that song is so fantastic.
It's brilliant. Yeah, I love it. Just the chaos and the control of it all, and just the uniformity of the handmaids, and then this, something's boiling up. Yeah, so cool.
I also love the slight swipe at fast fashion in that monologue.
Yes.
You know, we tried to stay fashionable and we caused ecological collapse. We put all our clothes in the landfills. I was like, yeah, that's right now.
Yeah, a little lesson for everyone. I shop at op shops and vintage shops.
Well, you're above it.
I'm okay, guys. I don't know, everyone else. And so this builds up right to the pre-title, and then we are in the ceremony for Wedding of the Century. Serena Joy to Gabriel Wharton. It's going to be amazing.
I am slightly sad we didn't get my red wedding. We got a red cake instead.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hoping for more bloodshed at the wedding.
Yes. I'm not quite sure what the plan was to transfer metal shivs in the church in the quietest part of the ceremony. The organ has just finished, but let's do it in the echoiest, wooden floorboardiest.
This is so true. I did wonder about this. I was like, is this purely because the cinematography of it looks lovely? Like, have we thought about the actual, what this would mean in the story?
I was mulling this over between the last episode we watched, going like, okay, so they're going to poison a cake, but they're also going to hand out knives and have some kind of attack at the wedding. And weren't bombs going to go off around Boston? Mm. That hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what is the timeline of all this happening? Because the cake's not going to come out until the reception, but if there's an attack during the wedding, there's not going to be a reception. So, yes, I was confused as well, wondering if they were going to use these knives at the ceremony or what the plan was.
Well, it sounds like they had planned for multiple plans. So, like, if they couldn't bring out the knives at the ceremony, there was the cake for the reception to do the job for them. Like, they, you know, they had a bit of planning in there. They were clever, but The knives at the quietest part of the ceremony is weird.
That was such a TV moment, though, like, just to build the tension. And, of course, I fell for it. It worked. It's like a horror movie where you know a jump scare's coming and, of course, you jump when the jump scare comes. Yeah, it's like, fine. Just ratcheting up the suspense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Nick, I thought he was going to officiate for a second. I'm not sure he didn't. We didn't actually see the ceremony.
He certainly had a starring role.
Yeah, isn't he on the up and up with Daddy Wharton? But I loved, here's where we see all of Gilead returning for the ceremony. I loved Naomi's reactions in this episode.
Oh, they were great, weren't they? In fact, they were so, like, she didn't get a lot of time, but when we did see her, her face all every single time, I loved it. She just hated it. She hated all of it.
And she was jealous. She was like, why was my wedding so simple compared to this?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, she even stopped clapping at one point. It was just kind of, I'm here, that's enough. And then she hoed into the cake when Lawrence gave her permission.
Why was Rita among the wives? Did you notice as Serena was walking down the aisle, she nods to Rita. Rita's in teal. She's in wife teal and she's among the wives.
Sort of a gunmetal, or it's sort of a grey, I thought. Okay. As a guest, beautiful. Like she's on the bride's side.
Right, okay.
Yeah, she's kind of a special guest, perhaps some kind of status above a Conno wife and below.
Yeah, like a bluey
gray. Commander's wife.
Yeah, it's not really clear how the hierarchy works in New Bethlehem, because I read that as being like a wife as well. And I thought, I wonder how this actually works.
Well, she's a free citizen, you know, theoretically. She's come back.
To New Bethlehem, not Gilead,
yes. So she's sort of a guest, but that's weird in Gilead, who are free people.
Yeah. Anyways, that just struck me as slightly curious.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No plums.
No Hannah.
No Hannah.
Yep. No, I did notice that. I was kind of clocking how far away people were from the commanders, were the commanders to kind of be under some attack, going, all the wives are sitting back. Maybe they'll be saved. Maybe not.
Yeah.
I was also looking for the cameras because remember what a big event the funeral was, broadcast all around the world. I was looking for the television cameras.
There were.
Did you see them?
Yes,
I saw screens up. Kind of towards the back of the church, showing what was happening close up. But I didn't kind of get that this is being transmitted around the world vibe.
It wasn't made as much of a point that it's a world global broadcast for sure. But it was, there were definitely screens broadcasting to the rest of the church what was going on. And I saw at one point like a camera in the crowd and I was like, was that a mistake in filming? part of that whole jazz.
Okay, I did not clock that. Because, I thought that it was quite, like, big, and obviously bigger than what they originally had planned, but not of the scale that I was led to believe it might be with getting everyone back. Because I guess it was for an audience of convincing the doubters about Serena and her plans. Mm.
But it is interesting that they didn't have children. Like, Flower Girls is the perfect opportunity to bring out Hannah and many others.
Absolutely. That's right, all the pinks.
Yeah.
The little.
I thought there was going to be, like, a procession through the streets, you know, very sort of, like a royal wedding type of thing.
Yeah. I did wonder if budget constraints hit.
Well, she did have to organise it very, very quickly, so.
Well, this is true too. Budget for her and budget for the show.
Oh, you think for the show.
I was thinking for the show. I was talking about the show.
No, I guess that speaks volumes about her clout as well. Like, or who knows, like what the intention, because you just, I also thought maybe there aren't flower girls and bridesmaids to keep the focus on Serena as well. But the dress.
What do we think of, like, this powder blue dress? Is, like, I would have, well, I guess you can't be white. She's not a virgin. She's been married before. I didn't know what to make of the eggshell blue. Did anyone have thoughts on that color? Like a kind of a wife-to-be kind of situation? I don't know.
I mean, she's been sporting pastels all season. Yeah, I thought it was in that, you know, blue of a wife, but that kind of straddling the. Although we did see Naomi's dress was also sort of a pale blue back when she
got
had
married.
The photos with Lawrence.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
I kind of read it as a bit of like a washed out teal, like, you know, a stepping stone towards full teal when you're married.
Oh. Yeah.
Or a washed out bride. Washed out bride.
Well, yeah, short lived. And this is a big episode for costumes, obviously, with the opening sequence about the handmaids and talk of the dress. We will have a bonus episode this week with Leslie Kavanagh, who is the costume designer of Handmaids, and she was for season 5 and 6. They kept the frock, the wedding dress, under wraps. We weren't allowed in the costume department because there was a big spoiler.
And, of course, yes.
Yeah. So I didn't see the dress up front, up close. But we do very much talk about Serena's colour schemes this year, the pastels and salmons and lavenders and whatnot of her new Bethlehem getup. So that is a bonus episode that we will drop this week. Seems relevant.
Mm-hmm.
June, in the church, she's never seen Rose. So when Nick walks down the aisle with his bride, his pregnant bride, hand on the small of her back.
Mm-hmm.
She's, that doesn't escape her attention.
Do you know what I thought in that moment as we first see Nick and we, after we see all the knives coming out? I was like, oh gosh, if this turns into the Red Wedding, is she going to kill Nick? That's where my mind went. Did no one else think that? That was just my macabre
thought. I thought it too. I thought the shot of him at the reception. Yeah, I feel like they're not done in whatever capacity. I think romantically they're done is my
yeah.
But I feel like there's still some unresolved.
There's going to be something. Some showdown.
They're still at a see you later rather than a goodbye.
Yes. And also his comment in his speech, he does make a pointed comment about having a baby on the way. Very much. He mentions it's his first, doesn't he?
Well, he has to, right?
Of course, like, officially
no,
it is.
No one else in Gilead officially knows that he has another child, but true. He really hammers that point home, not like knowing June's June. In the room.
Yes, it's like it's the event is determined to make June as uncomfortable as possible. So, yes, so she has to see him front and centre. She has to see his wife. And then, of course, he has to mention the fact that he's about to have his first baby. So, yeah, she's not walking out of there unscathed.
Yeah, she's getting to see how they pretend in that part of their lives. She doesn't often get to see Serena being Serena in Gilead anymore, or Nick, how he operates in his life. She only sees the snapshots she gets, obviously, when she's around. So she's seeing how they pretend and how they operate and how they maneuver in this world, and it's pissing her off.
Mm-hmm. That's true, because it has been 2 seasons since she was there. She got out midway through 4 and now we're at the tail end of 6.
Yeah, she's seeing a much more powerful Nick in Gilead than she's had revealed to her before.
Yeah. Oh, well.
All the easier to poison him later on.
That's
you know,
right.
If he's really, you know.
That's it. He's dead to her.
Yeah.
Reception. Another cutaway to Naomi. Love this one. Yeah. And that's where the actual handing out of the shivs happens, because old Butterfingers at the church dropped one. Joseph looks nervous to the point that Serena comes over, but she obviously thinks it's about he's doubting her commitment to their reforms. I think he's more nervous about the the Mayday shit that's going to come down. But anyway, but isn't she high on a happy vibe about her most important guests? She wants to give power to all the women in Gilead, and she almost very nearly clocks one June Osborne.
It's so funny how she is, where she's trying her best to be this reformed Serena who now really understands the plight of the handmaids, you know? Like, she gets it, guys. And she wants to go over there and greet them all. And it's just so sickening to watch.
Patronizing, right? In that scene, it's patronizing, it's sickening, it's performative. Mm-hmm. But it's so interesting when you compare it to the scene back at the house, how she treats the handmaid there in private. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, you know, last episode I was rabbiting on about like collective liberation. And I was like, whoa, does she actually care genuinely about these women now? She is here for collective liberation in a sense. I found that really fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. That was like the first time she's really empathetically interacted with a handmaid and really kind of actually seen them. And she asks the woman her real name and she really actually connects with her. It's very different to this yet performative speech she does in front of the handmaids.
And at cost to herself, right? She's doing it in front of her new husband.
Yeah.
She's not just doing it in private either. She's putting her neck on the line there.
Yeah, it's a big moment. It's a different Serena to what we've seen really ever in the series, I think.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Like it seems like she does have skin in the game now.
Yeah. Like she really believes it. And that's the part that I hate, because she really believes it. She thinks she's doing the right thing. She thinks she's doing a good job. And so it's performative, but she is also thinking that she's doing a really good thing at the reception to go over to the handmaids and to greet them as her special guests. It still blows my mind that the handmaids are actually there. Mm. Like, it's so funny that they are, on the one hand, they are part of that sort of marketing machinery of Gilead, and they are incredibly special because they are the ones that are giving birth to the next generation. But at the same time, everyone also hates them, and they're also fallen women, and it's like there are these two things at once. And so part of me is like, I can't believe they actually get to go to the wedding. But I guess, of course, they do, because they're so important to the hierarchy of Gilead. But it still is weird to me.
It's weird to me that they're at the reception. Like, I can understand the ceremony. What are they doing at the dinner? Like, surely that's where you banish the people you don't really want from the wedding. and you have your private affair.
They're also there on the most uncomfortable seats watching on. They don't get to dance. They do get a bit of cake. Obviously, they decline and shove it under the seats.
Yeah, no dinner.
Yeah. But it's kind of like they get there to see what the...
They're witness to the glamour and the luxury and the up-tops.
Yeah, but they're there as wallpaper, probably going home for ceremonies, a lot of them.
And that's why, right? I guess that's why they're invited.
Yeah.
It's because they are a part of their sexual lives, and I guess to make that feel okay to them, they have to make it look like they're almost wives. To make it okay that we're about to go home to rape this lady, you know, like to make it okay, we invite them to these big events and we treat them as special because they are part of our family.
Mm.
And so they get to go to these family events. Maybe. I'm just trying to figure out why the hell are they there?
Yeah, I wonder if it's like to torture them a little bit more. Like, look at us eat and enjoy ourselves and dance and you just sit there silently. You get none of this.
Yeah, I guess almost to just completely deplete their humanity. It's almost like this is a wedding is about a union and, you know, in Gilead speak, a man and a woman and it's to make babies ultimately, but we can't actually do that. So here's the functional means to that. So yeah, like they're kind of a job lot because it's all part of what a marriage is in Gilead and it's about status to have one to then give you the babies.
Oh my God, they're like the external uteruses just sitting uteri.
Yeah, over there. Oh. But we'll give them some cake.
The uterus can have cake.
And, they can take their veils off for the portrait.
Because
they're people, the people guys.
To get to celebrate your humanity. That doesn't happen. Serena forgets and probably for the best.
Rita thankfully distracts her.
To bring out the giant cake, the comically oversized cake, which for a second I thought, is someone in that cake?
Who would pop out in your imagination of this scenario? Who is going to pop out? Fred.
And the light.
Oh my God.
That is the fan fiction version of what happens here, and then they all die at the Red Wedding.
Oh, and wasn't it like just the most horrible fleshy pink?
Yes.
And made Esky disgusting color.
I still thought it was quite pretty.
It actually kind of reminds me, because like 1 year for our son's birthday, we made him an Angry Bird cake, but we made it so that it was actually had black icing. Didn't think that one through. All the kids had like black teeth, black mouths. Anyway, so I saw this red cake and I thought, oh, that's not going to end well.
Amazing.
I mean, would have been fitting if they got the knives out at the, you know, reception rather.
Well, they were all right there.
I know. What are they waiting for?
The plan, to then get like there was sleeping powder in the cake. So they were always intending them to fall asleep an hour or two later at home.
Have they not handed the knives to the handmaids
at the reception
to take back to their individual houses to use later in the night?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
At this point,
and we're going to get to
B,
that.
Yes.
We're going to get to that in the next episode, presumably.
Yeah, it starts at the end of it. I'm just thinking that you could drive a truck through some of the problems with, like, for instance, at my wedding, I was mingling. I didn't get cake. Like, I didn't have a slice of cake. So
well, that's a comment you hear Serena make. She makes that comment to Lydia. It's like, oh, we haven't even had a chance to enjoy it ourselves. We've been so busy. So we know Serena hasn't had cake.
My wedding, we didn't even have cake. So there's that.
There you go. So, yeah, it just kind of rests on everyone having cake, everyone having enough cake for the sleeping potion to take effect. I don't know.
I don't even like wedding cake, but I've been to a lot of weddings and I always eat the cake. Maybe that says something about me. At the very least, I'll eat the icing.
Yes.
Like, I thought maybe it was actually a clever plan, even though what I wanted was them to all to basically jump on the commander's backs and slit their throats. Like, that would have been awesome. But also, like, hugely flawed and unlikely to be successful. So I guess it's very smart. Like, it makes sense that you would... Yeah, I think you can rely on the fact that most people are going to eat the cake and it's more clever to move in darkness, I guess.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it also make more sense for them to put poison of some sort in the cake so they all just die there? I don't know what poison control is like in Gilead/New Bethlehem, but if you get your hands on sleeping something.
But I think, like, the blood is the... Yes. Is the point. Yeah, just to, they wanted the dresses the colour of blood intentionally. So, yeah, you just kind of got to spill some blood on those arseholes. And I did wonder, are they going to spare the wives or are they going to get everyone?
Yeah.
I mean, the wives are in on the ceremony too, but they're abused as well. Like, it's, yeah.
That might be up to each individual handmaid. Yes. I guess mm-hmm. I guess the nice thing about this plan is that the handmaids get to do it.
Yeah.
You know, there is something about extracting your revenge. And so I guess maybe they get to decide exactly who's going to do it.
Yeah.
But I think what we did see, though, in this episode is it's not easy to kill someone. Like, it's not something you can do casually. So I guess it remains to be seen whether the handmaids can actually go through with it.
Yeah. But they've got the choice and they've got the means.
Mm-hmm.
But look who shows up at the reception. Lydia Clements. Didn't do the meeting. Which yeah. Lawrence says.
That sixth sense kicked in and she right. came back. She knew something was up.
She has very right. sharp eyes, that
yeah.
one.
Yeah, and June's striding and then, ooh, got to backtrack there. Can't get anything past Lydia. But, yeah, she was obviously going against the flow to join the others to go and try and get Janine.
I loved that beautiful shot where she finds all the cake the handmaids have mm-hmm. left and the camera pulls back underneath all the chairs and just reveals them all. It was such a great moment.
That was great, wasn't it? Yeah. I do love Aunt Phoebe trying to stock Lydia up on, like, tryptophan to try, let's get her a big steak and a big glass of wine and help yourself to cake. Nighty night, Lydia. And of course she had a couple of helpings. She was reaching for that next slice of cake. Why wouldn't you? Everyone else gone home. Yes, that was quite fun. Then we're off to Wharton Manor
mm-hmm.
with the newlyweds in a very nice stretch, old Merc, but that seems like a gas guzzler in eco-conscious Gilead. But anyway, Carrie's over the threshold. There had been talk at the reception. Belle mentions his daddy, Big Daddy Belle, has a very prolific handmaid. She always pops out twins. Little gift, little wedding gift, sitting in the parlour.
So gross.
So, yeah, it's your moment, Sana.
Yeah. She was magnificent in this. I was mesmerised the whole way through.
I liked how it echoed when we first meet Serena in the beginning of the whole show, and we see the whole show starts off with Serena as a wife and we see her with June as the handmaid, and she hates June. She hates the fact that there's a handmaid in her house. And here we are at the final episodes of the entire show, and she comes home and there is a handmaid in her house and she hates it, you know, but for different reasons now. And it's like, oh, it's the same but different.
She doesn't hate the handmaid. Yeah.
She hates the system.
That's it.
It's interesting. So clearly, yes, she's been on a journey. And I feel like in some senses I should feel a bit of whiplash or feel like this is no longer believable that she straddles these two paths and these two versions of herself. But I always still believe it. Like, I still think she is operating within, a believable realm where she can go from being a misogynist to now seeing this handmaid as human. Probably still a misogynist, you know, in many ways. But the journey she's been on, I was just thinking, like, it could seem unbelievable to some. But to me, it's still, I'm mesmerized by it and I think it works.
I buy it.
Yeah.
Because it is such a personal, it goes so against what she has been proclaiming outwardly that some of it does feel very performative. But, yeah, I just think the way she plays it as well does really help, help it land. But she made that appeal to the wives last week and Naomi was saying the system works, let's not shake it up. But there was a couple of weeks ago as well where it just felt like she was still okay with handmaids and she was only really focused on their retirement. Like
it
presupposed that there would still be handmaids, it's just what do we do with them after.
Mm.
But now it's like, no, she's actually thinking a little ahead of that. And, you know, June was in a house last week that she's calling her friend, her best friend now, basically, to
isn't
to
it
the
like
others.
This is an example of like this sort of classic thing, people voting because they think that they will be okay. And so it's like she's still actually okay with handmaids. She just thought that they weren't going to be in
right,
her life.
Correct.
So she's in New Bethlehem where it looks like they don't have handmaids. They just get them in retirement. And I was like, my comment when her and Lydia had that sit down so that Serena could get Lydia on board for this new handmade retirement plan. And I remember being frustrated because, like, we were all frustrated because it doesn't go far enough and the handmaid still exists. It does nothing to topple that system. So she's sort of living in this space, which seems to be, unfortunately, a very common space out there in the world, where she was okay with it as long as she was exempt from it. Mm. And all of a sudden she's not exempt and now she hates it.
And also her main argument to him is, but I'm fertile. Like, it's like, I don't need one. If I did need one, yeah, it's not even.
Yeah, this is true.
But it's kind of like, oh, no, what? We're good.
What happens now to the Serena and Gabriel Warden Center for Children Who Can't Read Good? Because it sounds like that was all a sham. And a lie and a trap.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't think any of us are surprised by Wharton's reveal of his true self. We've been questioning it and wondering about it. And it felt like, you know, when he revealed his true self, of course.
Yeah.
This felt like it was coming for a few episodes. It did strike me as unstrategic of this very strategic man to roll the handmaid out on the wedding night.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you've been wooing her and making all these allowances for months and months or however long it's been, and yet you didn't think maybe wheeling the handmaid out on day two or day three might be a little bit more strategic.
Well, he's now in charge. He's laying down his law.
It's like he's absolutely laying down his law. This is the line. We've crossed it. You're here now. And these are the new rules.
Mm. I can see it as like they're both blinded, right? Like they're both, she's got those blinders on about handmaids still existing, but he has them as well. Like he has just his assumptions of how life is going to go. I don't even think he was doing it to hurt her or anything like that. It's just like, this is how we do things. And how did she not know this? Like, that's the part that's so annoying. Serena, how did she not know this?
And that's the thing. It's not even like it's a haha, got you. It's, like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's wrapped up in piety and it's kind of
I'm a good man. I'm a good husband. What's wrong with you?
That is it.
That line. Thank you, Heidi. That line. I'm a good man. Like, I'm a good guy. And it's like, oh.
Which is so funny because that's what we've been saying about him all season. Like, he seems like a good guy.
Wink, wink.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And also her line is a direct echo of June's to Nick last week where she says, what's wrong with you? I thought you were a better man, but you're just like the rest of them. That's literally what June said to Nick outside the car last week. So, yeah.
Are there any good men in Gilead? Is anyone left?
Well, this is a good time for us to say that we were lucky enough to interview O.T. Fagbenle, who plays Luke. And I can't believe that it's been the entire show, like six seasons, and we haven't actually interviewed him yet. But he talked about what Moira said to him, which is that she said that Luke was the best man he knew. So it's interesting to sort of throw that in the mix now because his take on that, and he is like the good guy of the show, and his take on that was Luke hated to hear it because he didn't feel like he was a good man. And so it's so funny that we have in this episode Wharton, who is not a good guy but really thinks he is, and then Luke, who actually is a good guy but really thinks he isn't.
Mm. Yeah.
There's something in that for all you guys out there.
Teachable moments. Yes, so that interview with O.T. Fagbenle is going to be a bonus episode that will drop in your feeds imminently.
And he was such a good guy. Really liked him. He was so nice.
Yes, that was fun. And another interesting line from Serena in this moment in the house, in debating about the presence of Christina, the handmaid, she does say she's not a vessel, she's a human being.
Yeah.
And that's been the whole thing with June, like trying to convince her. Mm. You know, she said it literally when Serena had just given birth.
Yes.
Because Serena used the word vessel. Last week she used the vessel to the wives. But another one where it's kind of like, oh, but not in my backyard. Yeah, she's not a vessel, she's a human being.
It's funny that Serena is such a selfish person, and it's like, it's through her selfishness of only thinking about herself and the things kind of immediately around her that she finally comes to this moment where she realizes and acknowledges the humanity of the handmaid in front of her. But I just think it's really interesting that it's through her own selfishness that she comes to this realization.
However you
get
there.
It feels like a very Serena way to have a revelation.
Classic Serena. Yeah. We did wonder, had she hit rock bottom throughout this season?
She has in this episode, I'd say so. I mean, she's out on the run with her baby. Where is she off to?
She's off to bump into some handmaids and join the revolution.
Coming in the other way. Incoming.
Come on, babe, join in.
So the next scene after that, we've talked about this one, but it's the wedding cleanup. The staff are cleaning up and the Marthas are cleaning up, and Lydia is polishing off the red and helping herself to a second serve of cake. And this is where she smells a rat when she sees the untouched cake. Straight to the red centre. She smells a rat. She's on the prowl. She wants to go and check on the girls. Something's going on. Mm-hmm. Who sleeps with their boots on? But now rebels. The door's unlocked. June lets herself in. Nice composition here. I love when there's fireplace and, you know, what kind of shows in the scene. But then if you notice the light fixtures above June's head, they're kind of very halo-y. And one part where she's kind of directly under it just before she does the deed, and then she sort of shifts off the side. Yeah, a little bit. So that can't be an accident. But, yeah, Bill recognises her.
How does he recognise
her? Yeah.
There must be like her mugshot going around all the high commanders.
Wanted posters.
This woman, get her.
Yeah, because he was taunting her at Jezebel's, but I guess he didn't see her face.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, nice to meet you. Jab. Nice one. In the peeper. Nice touch for Janine.
Yeah, it fits with both an eye for an eye.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's that and the fact that it's for Janine.
Yeah.
And I'm intrigued by the like I like that someone gets it in the eye. And I guess
I don't know, in a world where we're saying sentences like this. Sorry, just that's such a bonkers thing to say. But
we're in the world of the Handmaid's Tale.
Our whole show is bonkers, though, really. But it's not Lydia, because like Lydia's the one that did it to her in the first place, which is what I was thinking about with that hug, Haiti. Is one of the things in the show, like, I never really wanted to see women being hurt. And even with Serena, in a previous season, it looked like she was almost going to be a handmaid. And there's been lots of, like, for all the people out there who hate Serena, just like I do, some of them want Serena to get her revenge and they want her to go through everything that June has gone through and they wanted her to have that whole, the full handmaid experience. I never wanted that for her. So I feel like she's still been having a really rough time and being woken up in various ways, which is incredibly unpleasant. And she almost got the handmaid experience, like, when she was trapped in that house. Same with Lydia. I've always wanted Lydia to get some revenge put on her. And it would make sense if it was Lydia's eye, if there was an eye for an eye, that it would be Lydia was the one copying it. But at the same time, I kind of don't want to see that. So I very much enjoyed seeing it when it happened to Belle. And it's funny because my partner was in the house when I was watching it. But I don't think he knew what I was doing. But all of a sudden, he just heard a scream. I was like, yes!
And then he knew, oh, Nat's watching Handmaids again. Amazing.
One thing with this scene is he is on the phone. He says her name, and then he dies. Who is he on the phone with? Who has heard that June Osborne is in Gilead?
Oh, yeah, that's
And then
good
now
point.
The line's gone dead. You know, does that mean their plan is going to have some other issues unfold over the next episode? That's what I wondered.
Was it Lydia?
Was he on the phone to Lydia?
I don't know. Because we've just come from the scene where she sees the handmaid with her boots on. She knows something's going down. She probably knows she's making a beeline for Janine. I don't know.
I thought I would have assumed he was speaking to another commander.
Maybe it was about the bombs that we didn't see go off, you know?
I was wondering if he was getting some intel on what was about to go down, like, because he...
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, he's asking someone to repeat themselves. Like, it sounds like something important.
Yeah.
So, mystery.
That someone now knows.
I feel like we haven't got to the explodey bit, though, yet.
No.
I think we'll see those bombs
That's
go
where
off.
The, they're waiting. That's where the budget's going.
Yeah, that's what I figure.
So June has a drink. Janine greets her with the thanks. And then we're off to the Red Centre for this scene where Lydia is raising hell. She wants to know what's going on, who knows what. Blames Aunt Phoebe, of course. Why are they still in their clothes? Why did they hide their cake? Love that line. Interesting, Moira stands up, and for her it's a huge moment to show Lydia she's back, and Lydia doesn't recognise her for all her love for her girls. Moira is one that got away. She escaped from the Red Centre. Great line from Moira, you know, She asks, what is your name?
Why do you care? Why do you care when you stole it from me? My name is Moira. You fucking bitch.
Fucking bitch.
They're really coming in, like June and Moira, they're kind of coming in as the elder handmaids, like yes. The elder leaders, and they're reaching out to this new younger generation of handmaids who are getting nervous. So like they were nervous in the church and June had to calm them down. And I was thinking, why are June and Moira split up? But like Moira's with them partly to be that sort of senior person to take that role, I guess, mm-hmm. to be able to stand up to Lydia and actually say something, because the rest of them are kind of too new. They're too junior. Like they haven't actually been placed in houses yet, have
yeah.
they?
Yeah, true.
Anyway, so I like this evolution of June and Moira. So when we saw them in the very first season, they were just being assigned. And so now we see them at the very end and oh, how they've grown.
That's right. And I love that Moira got to say this at the Red Centre because that's where she escaped from. So it's kind of like it means something that she's right back there. Another great monologue from June. You know that rape is rape and you know that it wasn't our fault. We don't deserve this. We're not fallen women. It's just this appeal to Lydia's humanity that echoes that, like, they are not vessels, like, they are people.
Lydia, who has a gun on them, couldn't get over
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, she's like the cattle prod queen. Like, so, that's what kind of more in line of the punishment that I thought that she might threaten them with. It seemed like massive overkill to have a guy there pointing a gun at them.
But notice she's shocked. Got the guy pointing the gun. She's no longer, like, she's kind of removed from inflicting the torture herself now. I think that maybe there's something in the symbolism of stepping back a little bit and kind of transferring it onto someone else's.
I feel like maybe she got the cattle prod confiscated when she went to town on Janine that time. I don't think she's allowed to carry anymore, maybe.
She lost her license to carry.
I think so. Yeah, real funny.
I do think this scene, you know, towards the end, once she changes her mind and lets the yeah. girls go. This scene is the making of the Lydia we'll see in the Testaments. Mm. This is her origin story for who she becomes. If that's not too much of a spoiler. But the photos are out there. The book's been out there for a while.
Yeah, and it's huge. Like, we get an I'm sorry from Lydia. Mm. Like, normally it's the I'm sorry, Aunt Lydia. But, yeah, she genuinely says she is sorry to Janine. Again, it's personal. It's her girl, her special girl that under her watch.
I think it's just because the cake is taking effect, you know?
she's getting tired.
She's really tired and she doesn't know what's going on. Yeah, wonderful. And then, of course, there's a music cue that just kind of gets me in the tear ducts again.
Yeah.
One thing I'm just thinking about now is how the power of that one relationship. So with Nick, he did so much because he cared so much about June, but it wasn't enough for him to care about others. Whereas here for Lydia, she is doing so much for others because she cares so much for Janine. Like, that's her entryway into, like, letting all the handmaids go. Mm. There's something interesting playing out there about when your personal stake in a person's life matters and makes a difference on a bigger scale.
Mm. Do you think that's the same for Serena with June, having name-checked her at the ceremony? Mm. Like, is that kind of helped or... Is it Serena?
Well, she's still bouncing back and forth because what you guys have said, you know, moments ago earlier about she cares about that handmaid now because it's in her house, but she doesn't mind handmaids existing somewhere else. Yeah. That's really interesting. And I think that's probably still correct, but maybe she is on this journey towards that being less the case. I don't know yet.
Who can say? We've got two eps. Again, this one echoes the Serena scene as well, because there is talk of presuming to know what God wants. Serena says that to Gabrielle, you know, who are you to presume that God wants this? And it's what June says to Lydia here. If there is a God that would empower a woman like you to stand up for us, to arc toward the light and to finally declare enough. So, you know, she's giving Lydia permission, like maybe God actually wants to empower you to do something rather than to shame her, which is a Lydia way, to shame her into doing the right thing. It's kind of a more positive, maybe God wants you to do something.
Yeah.
Which just gets her over the line and also breaks her down, sobbing guttural sobs on the floor.
Another fantastic performance. Just the performance from Yvonne Strahovski and Anne Dowd in this episode, just two brilliant performances, I thought.
Yeah, really, really good. Yeah, and also like they're the two characters that, as you mentioned, Sana, we kind of have accused of tinkering around the edges this season. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
What happens with Lydia in this moment is very similar to what happened to Serena all those seasons ago when she let June take Nicole and get Nicole out of Gilead, except that we know that Serena woke up the next day basically and really regretted it.
Immediately. Yes.
So look, there's two episodes to go, and so it's curious what we'll see of Lydia within that and how she's going to respond when what takes place, whatever that is.
Whatever that is. Yeah.
How she'll actually respond to that.
Significant. It's not, like it's not like there's the chaos of the streets and it's like quick, make a decision. This one feels like it's giving permission to, I don't know, feels like a shift.
It felt like a deeper, internal shift in her belief.
Yeah. And so from there, it's outside the Handmaids. We get another Eye of God shot from all the order of the episode. They're not standing in line anymore. They're just kind of running at their own kind of formation, breaking ranks. And June takes one last look over the shoulder at the red center. And then they're just a running pack. There's a lot of voiceover because we haven't had a June voiceover in a long time either. We took the clothes they used to enslave us,
to liberate us. Who were we under those clothes? Who could we be? Who had they prevented us from being? Mothers and daughters, readers and writers, professionals, friends.
Yeah, just great voiceovers and monologues all through this. And so they're fleeing away from the darkness, within and without, into the light.
I did love that final line of this episode being mirroring the final line of the book before the epilogue about the darkness within, without, into the light.
Nice, isn't it?
That was a bit of a punch in the gut moment for me.
Yep. And we're out. Where are they going? Predictions.
So presumably the handmaids, a lot of the handmaids went back to the houses that they belong to, but they're now armed.
Yes.
So they're waiting for the wives and the commanders to fall asleep and then presumably to slit their throats.
That's right. We do have a couple of stubby setups. We do see some people nodding off on the couch and walking into the bed. There's a couple of setting it up, yeah.
But what is the plan after that then? Is this like a kind of kamikaze mission? You know, guardians are going to come in and then shoot the handmaids who killed the commanders or what?
Well, the guardians are asleep too. Lydia spots a snoozing guardian.
Oh, right. Okay, so we just kill all the men and run.
Well, I feel like I don't know, correct me if you've got a different theory, but it seems like they're running because they're Red Center handmaids, so they don't have a direct commander to kill. But the ones who were posted are going to town and then leaving. But when they flee, then the bombs might go off so that those left can't come after them who know what's happening.
That makes sense.
But then that will attract the military for the next stage.
But then surely America is poised to come as backup. I'm sure they're all,
Where Tuella is going to come when the bombs start going off.
My problem with it, because I was wondering what the handmaids were at the Red Center, what they were actually doing and whether they were going off into houses or whether they were on murderous intent or whether they were just running away. The thing is, if you get rid of all the handmaids, I'm still thinking, like, what happens to the Hannahs of the world?
Yeah.
And the more handmaids you kill, then the younger those recruits are going to get as they need to replenish their ranks. So which is a little bit horrifying. And we really haven't seen anything about the Hannahs of Gilead.
Yeah, they've kind of, it's like they've kind of accepted that that's just not going to happen. And so we've barely even talked about trying to get to Hannah again after those planes were shot down.
Holding out hope it'll happen.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to come back to it, I think. Sure. I mean, we have to.
Yeah.
I'm like, of course.
We haven't seen how Luke wraps up.
I don't know if we're going to see Luke again.
Yeah. We've got two episodes. Come on.
Just going off our chat with
OT. The whole point of this show is finding Hannah, what are you saying?
Going off our chat with OT, it sounded like he didn't know a thing about the finale. He hadn't watched it. He hadn't been part of it. And I was like, oh, well, there's only two episodes left. That means we don't necessarily see you again.
I clocked that too.
Yeah.
I wondered the very final moments. I don't know. That seemed a natural. I was absolutely reading what he was saying there as well. But episode nine then, who knows?
Okay,
but,
episode nine.
Yeah. Yeah.
We get a little, we wrap up the Luke and Nick love triangle in episode nine. Let's say that. That's my prediction.
Yeah.
I wonder if Luke finally gets to reunite with Hannah, because at least June has had those moments over the years, but Luke hasn't.
He hasn't seen her at all.
No,
that's right.
That little photo that June brought back. Yeah.
Will the last moment we see Luke have been the kiss that he and June has before she's come in with Moira a couple of episodes ago?
No.
Surely that can't be it.
That was before they were going to the Jezebels.
When was the last time we saw Luke?
When she gave him permission to leave.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. When she came back to face the music.
Oh, gosh, that could almost be a final scene for Luke.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I hope not.
No, I feel that Luke needs a Hannah moment of some sort. Because also it struck me no plums means no Mackenzies. We haven't seen Mackenzie. Remember that big, he called out the hit on June in Canada. Like, he was Hannah's dad. Hannah is Agnes Mackenzie.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
The Mackenzies could have been there somewhere at the wedding, though, even if there weren't children invited to the wedding.
True, but we haven't seen them. And he was playing such a big part in the...
Yeah, presumably they've eaten cake and gone home as well.
It is so strange that, like, as you mentioned, Fiona, that we haven't really seen the Handmaids until episode 8 and we haven't seen the plums, and we've only got episodes 9 and 10 to go. It's like, wow, they really have just saved all this for the very end. Like,
that's okay. Right.
Sorry, I have a really kind of stupid thought. And I should just, the answer is, this is TV, let it be. But that one point when June peels away to go run to Belle's house, someone says to her, we'll see you back at the Red Center. I think it's the other aunt. And in my head, I was like, I know North American suburbs. That house ain't going to be walking distance to the Red Center. How is she moving around? Like, is she just walking for miles on end every night? Or is there an Uber for handmaids? Like, how are the people getting around?
Because it always gets with it, like,
it's a driving culture.
They're like, American house numbers are like 1,078. And I'm just like, how are they so high?
The blocks are enormous.
Yeah. It's made for cars, not for walking around to the Red Center and Belle's house and back.
Oh, handmaids are walking everywhere. We've seen them marching in their pairs across, taking the long way, scenic route around the river near the wall. But anyway, they get the steps up, that's for sure.
I guess we know there's a few characters that haven't eaten cake, and I'm really interested in finding out where Lawrence is at, where Rita is at. Did Nick eat cake? I don't know.
Hashtag trending, did Nick eat cake?
Yeah.
Serena is out in the wild on the dark streets where the handmaids are running around somewhere. Like, I'm really interested in finding out which of these characters are going to be involved in whatever happens next.
There is a nice revolutionary aspect to it with the let them eat cake, obviously.
Yes, we can absolutely. That one.
But yeah, it's let them fill their boots and have second helpings. Any more predictions?
Someone's still got to die.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going Moira and Nick.
Ugh, okay, Moira and Nick.
I'm going Luke, and Janine has to live. She has to. She just has to.
Mm-hmm.
Haiti?
I'm holding out that we're just going to see a whole lot of commanders and wives get killed, and maybe none of our favorites.
That would be unbelievable for all of them to escape Gilead over all these years.
Hey, with their heads on the shoulders. It's a TV
show. It's going to be kind of fun if, like, Naomi dies.
Sorry, I had to say something diabolical for you, Sana.
I do love Naomi. I'd be sad not to get her, you know, little glances. And
it's going to be a great death. It's going to be awesome.
And we hoped you liked the Eva Carradine bonus interview as well. That one was out in the world last week. So, yes, I hope you've devoured that one. My prediction, I maintain. I think it's...
You think June?
Curtains for June Osborne.
Still.
I do.
Still.
And oh, because I think there's the Hannah coming. But Nick. Is Nick going to be the one that kills June?
I don't know.
I'm putting it out there.
Oh, my God.
I think they're unresolved, and that's kind of where I think it's... That's my big
one. One of them's going to kill each other.
Mm.
That's a that's a bit Buffy, to be honest. I just don't think that can happen. She had to kill Angel, and he turned good right as that stake was going through his heart. It was a moment. They can't do it again. We've already seen it on TV. Anyway, if you know, you know.
I don't know, but okay. Yes, not sure. I just feel like there's a Hannah element in there. That's the hill I'm going to die on, or June's going to die on. All right. Well, that's it. We are off to race after those handmaids to see where the hell they're going. Premiere episodes of The Handmaid's Tale Season 6, what remains of them, will premiere exclusively on SBS On Demand on Tuesday afternoons and screen on television on SBS Wednesdays. And do keep an eye out for some of those bonus episodes that we're going to drop. We've got a lot of interviews, a lot of juicy details, even as we're getting to the pointy end of the season. So, yeah, we hope you're loving them as much as we love bringing them to you. And thank you for listening. We are loving your responses to this season, particularly to the Nazi Nick comments and how that's split Team Luke, Team Nick, Team Handmaids out there on the internet. It means the world to us that you choose to watch this show with us, and we'd love to know what else you're thinking, particularly this episode where we finally get some handmaids again. We are getting a sense of the revolution. Reach out on your preferred social media platform. You can find me on a lot of them. You can use the hashtag EyesOnGilead and find me at anythingbutfifi. Sana, where can we find you?
At Sana_Kadar.
And Natalie?
At Nat Hambly. I'm mainly on Threads, but I'm also on Instagram and Blue Sky.
And if you like what you're hearing, please feel free to leave feedback and give us a rating on where you're listening to us. And we've got some lovely reviews that have come in on Apple Podcasts for both Australia and the US, and those Spotify episodes. Thank you for commenting on them.
Mm-hmm.
We love them now that we've seen them. But we do have a week until the next episode of Handmaids drops, and we like to recommend something that you can watch. I've got a suggestion for something you can watch at SBS On Demand. Seems relevant given, you know, Nick and June have broken up and Serena and her new husband didn't even get to the honeymoon phase. Couples therapy. We've got 4 seasons of the fantastic Fly on the Wall therapy sessions program. If you're not familiar with it, you will love it. The 4 seasons we have there is more coming at the end of the month, so get going on that, and then there will be more to season 4 dropping just as Handmaid starts to wrap up. So Couples Therapy at SBS On Demand. Eyes on Gilead is an SBS Australia production, and we acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and meet on the lands of the Cammeraygal people of the Eora Nation. This podcast is produced by me, Fiona Williams, and edited and mixed by Jeremy Wilmot. You don't own me, I'm not your property, so take a shifty little beady eyes off of me. Until next time, don't let the bastards grind you down.
Keep your eyes on the prize, ladies.